People who have been sexually abused as children often find it takes years to come to grips with what they've endured. By then, more often than not, they're blocked from taking legal action against those responsible because of state laws that limit the time when such lawsuits can be filed. But as Lisa Desjardins reports, just last week, New York became the latest of more than a dozen states to change those limits.
New York State's new law is particularly sweeping. Now individuals can file civil lawsuits over childhood sexual abuse until they are 55 years old. The limit had been 23. It also allows anyone of any age 1 year to file a case from the past in a so-called look-back window. This allows for a flood of lawsuits, including against the Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts, and in the case we will discuss tonight, Rockefeller University in Manhattan. This year, the school acknowledged the late Dr. Reginald Archibald sexually abused children in his care at the university's hospital, touching and fondling them for no medical reason. He often took photos of them naked. The number of children abused is potentially in the thousands. Archibald worked in pediatrics for four decades. Starting in 1940, he died in 2007. Jennifer Freeman is an attorney with the Marsh Law Firm, which is representing some 550 plaintiffs in these new lawsuits. One of those plaintiffs is Gail Coleman, who saw Dr. Archibald several times as a child, starting in 1974 at age 11. Thank you, ladies. Jennifer, let me just start with you. Sure. This is an historic law. What is the potential scope of this, and what could this mean for abuse survivors?
This truly is landmark legislation, and it means that anyone of any age can truly come forward in this special look-back window and get their child sex abuse claims addressed.
What happens to them, though? They still must go through the traditional procedure, is that right? Will go through court.
That's absolutely right. You still have to prove your case, no matter what, and that involves telling your story, that involves getting documents, such as with the Catholic Church, the secret files, with the Boy Scouts, the ineligible files, and the documents that Rockefeller University has already identified.
Gail, what does this mean for you, this opportunity?
This means that finally I can hold Rockefeller University accountable for its role in what happened to me. They left me alone with a pedophile, and even their own investigators have found that people complained to them years before I walked through that door. And they made a choice. They chose to protect Archibald instead of protecting me and the thousands of other children that he molested. There need to be consequences for that choice.
There was even a grand jury case in 1960 against Dr. Archibald, and the university knew about it, still dismissed it. One thing I noticed about your lawsuit, some of these plaintiffs preferred not to be named and use initials instead. But you were named, and here you are in public. Why was it important for you to be fully named in public about this?
I think it is important for survivors to come forward. So often we don't because we feel shame, but we're the victims. We don't have anything to be ashamed about. The shame really belongs with the people who molested us and with the institutions who let it happen. And I think the more that people talk about it, the more clear it becomes what the scope is. And that's how we start protecting children in the future.
It takes so much to talk about it. I'm really especially interested in this case because I don't think it's gotten a lot of national attention. In New York, of course, it's made a lot of headlines. But I'm curious, what do you think people should know about Dr. Archibald? You called him a monster when we were talking just before we started.
He was a monster. He abused the fact that I was a child. I was 11 years old. And he was a doctor. He was a well-respected doctor. And as a child especially, it's very hard when a doctor is holding out what he's doing as for medical purposes. It's hard to believe that's not true, even if it doesn't feel right. He abused his position.
He locked children often alone while telling parents that there was someone else with you, and apparently lied to the parents as well, and the university. But the university did have some knowledge. He's now passed away. He's long since dead. What do you want to happen here? What do you hope these lawsuits do?
I hope that these lawsuits hold Rockefeller University accountable, and I hope they do it in a way that is so consequential that other institutions are going to have to take notice and are going to have to make sure that they have policies and procedures in place to make sure that this doesn't happen to any other child on their watch. The other thing that I want from this lawsuit is he took pictures of me. And I want to find out what happened to them. Are they still out there? Mm-hmm. Who's seen them? I mean, are the negatives still out there? If they are, I want them back. I just don't know. And the fact that they may still be out there, that's an ongoing re-victimization for me. It means this isn't just in the past when I was a child. It's still happening to me.
And this is the case for hundreds, thousands of people that he saw. As we talk about what differences could make for children in the future, what kind of message this sends, Jennifer, this is a man who's passed away. Some of these institutions are facing possible bankruptcy because of just the amount of lawsuits. The insurers are worried about being able to pay all these claims. What do you think this does? How does this protect children, these lawsuits?
This will, as Gail said, encourage or require these institutions to protect children, to make sure that they're not alone with a child, to make sure that background checks are properly made, to make sure that procedures are followed, and also make sure that people are just aware that these things can happen. Unfortunately, in any youth-serving organization, there has to be attention to this.
The idea is that ultimately the financial consequences could be so enormous that all the institutions need to take notice of this problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have a bigger question about power. In all of these cases, we've seen institutions that have been venerated, authority figures who are also venerated, use that power to prey on children or to cover up people who have preyed on children. How does this get at that culturally? Do you have hopes that there could be cultural changes from this as well, Gail?
I do. I think that the more people who come forward and the more clear it becomes how broad the scope of child abuse is, child sexual abuse, hopefully, as society loudly condemns it, even children will feel more comfortable coming forward and will feel that they'll be believed. And, you know, as I said, you know, the shame, the embarrassment is profound, but hopefully that will become less.
Has it started to become less with this process? I know you're just a few days into this, but how is it feeling even this week? This is something you probably didn't imagine could happen.
But that's right. It's been very helpful that through this process I've met other survivors. That's been very helpful to talk to them. And the other thing is the more we're learning about Rockefeller and what they knew and how early they knew it, I'm just becoming angrier and angrier.
It's true that if they had done the right thing as of 1960-61 when the grand jury investigation was going on, they had a grand jury subpoena. They should have taken notice. If they had done that, approximately 90% of these victimizations would not have happened.
Jennifer Freeman, Gail, I have to thank both of you so much. It's a very important conversation. Thank you for keeping it on the national radar.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening.